and so I kiss him again. Just enjoying that, I start fondling him, and he does the same with me. Once again, we lose ourselves in the moment. Jesse. I hop on the surfboard and ride it all the way in. With my arms stretched out at my sides, I feel like I'm soaring through the air. It's a moment where I don't feel like a total klutz, which, really, surfing has made me feel like. I've fallen off the board so much since Eric started showing me how to surf. Of course, I'm only able to maintain my balance for a few more moments before I fall to my side. When I pop back up in the water, Eric's on the shore, applauding my efforts. "That was good. Really good," he calls out, his pearly white smile sparkling in the sunlight. The way he carries himself, this natural confidence he exudes, tells me he's sure of who he is. I could have said that just from what we shared in the bedroom. At the same time, there's something else there, too. Something I saw when we were showering together. A vulnerability. He opened up to me, only a little, but enough to let me know. There's much more to Eric than I realized. Layers I'm curious about, that are more than this scorching fire we ignite when our bodies touch. I grab the board and approach Eric, who runs his hand through his dark locks, which are already slicked back, sparkling like his teeth in the light.
"Well, you're almost there," he says. "A little more time and practice, and you'll have the hang of it."
Suddenly, I don't feel like we're talking about surfing anymore. The words come out as a joke, but I'm not kidding. Fucking around in the bedroom was just the tip of the iceberg, and now that we have time to experiment, for him to show me exactly what I've been missing all these years, I'm eager to explore. And who better to explore this with than Eric? The things he does to me, the way he can get me so worked up, God fucking damn it, it's like a drug, and even after we showered up, I wanted to suggest we go again. However, when he suggested the beach, I figured a good fuck break was in order. I hope he doesn't try to shut down what we shared, and judging by the way he smirks at my teasing, wincing slightly, his gaze drifting across my body like he can't help himself, I'm hopeful that he's as eager for more as I am.
"You want to head down the boardwalk?"
he asks.
"Grab some lunch? There's a place that has some really great fajitas."
"I haven't found a place yet that has bad fajitas." Eric smiles.
"Trust me. These are amazing."
"That works for me." We return our boards to the rental shop before heading to the Malecon and walking side by side. He's quiet for a minute before he blurts out,
"So what's your story?"
"What?"
"No, I was kind of rambling about my life earlier, but you haven't said much about yours."
"You want to know about my life now?" "I just figured you were going to hit it and quit it, so I didn't see the point." I'm just giving Eric a hard time, but as soon as the words come out of my mouth, he stops and takes me by the arm. I turn to him. His expression is so stern, his brow furrowed. "You don't think that's what I was doing, do you?" "I don't hit it and quit it." The way he says it, it almost sounds more like a threat than a statement. "I'm not saying I'm expecting anything from you," he adds,
"but I don't want you to feel like I was taking advantage of you, or that I don't respect you."
"I wasn't thinking that." I'm surprised by how intense he is about this. He looks at his hand, how he's gripping my arm. It's not hard. There's something about it that feels almost affectionate. Like the way he kissed me after we came in his bed together. Eric blinks twice and shakes his head, as though he's pulling himself out of whatever state he was in. He releases my arm.
"Good. I want you to know that. And I don't want you to feel like I don't want to get to know who you are as a person outside of fucking around. Not like in a weird way, or, you know, we have to pretend this is more than it is way, but I just..."
He stops himself.
"I don't really have a way of saying any of this without it sounding weird. Do I? I can't help but release a big-ass laugh. I'm sorry, you just made it super awkward. He smiles, like he enjoys how amused I am by how he just put his foot in his mouth.
I guess I did. But, I mean, I know what you mean, Eric. And it's nice.
I promise I wasn't laughing at that part. It's kind of a strange situation we're in, you have to admit.
That's for sure, he says.
I start walking again. And it's been weird as fuck for me because I don't normally do stuff like this.
Like what?
I told you, I don't hook up with people. I'm not virginal or anything.
I've never accused you of that.
I'm just not like some of the other guys my age. And so most of my experimenting happened in relationships. With people I trusted.
And that makes all of this weird?
Yes, but in a good way. What we did today was a lot of fun, and I'm hoping not the last thing we do together. I figure we kind of threw the whole this-is-wrong-we-shouldn't-do-it thing out the window.
Seems like it.
How do you feel about that?
He stares ahead for a moment before taking a breath. I'm not really sure what to feel about that. Ty and I don't have the best relationship as it is, but I think I'd be kidding myself if I were to try and pretend I don't want my hands all over you.
How do you feel?
As his friend.
Like a terrible friend. But like you said, at this point I'd be lying to myself if I acted like I didn't want to do things with you.
Bad things?
Naughty things?
I notice movement in the crotch of his shorts. I glance around to make sure no one will notice before I reach down and tap the bulge.
Yeah, you like that, don't you? I say, giving him a hard time, trying to break up the awkwardness of this convo. He enjoys the laugh for a moment before turning serious again.
My biggest concern is I don't want to fuck up your friendship with Ty.
And my biggest concern is not fucking up your already fucked up relationship with Ty.
So what do we do?
If we fuck around while we're here, and we know that's all there is to it, are we hurting him? It's not like we're walking down the aisle together and I'm going to be Ty's new daddy.
He starts to laugh, but then cringes. Oh, God, yeah. I don't think we have to worry about that.
As long as we both agree to make sure not to do anything that could hurt Ty, I think we'll be fine, I tell him.
Ty's lucky to have a friend like you.
He's lucky to have a dad who cares about him, too. Honestly, if you'd asked me that last week, I wouldn't have said that about you. Not from the way Ty's depicted you.
The way his jaw tenses, I can tell that wasn't a subject I should have broached. I bite my tongue.
Sorry, that's probably one of those areas I should avoid talking about. He doesn't deny that, just keeps walking, staring forward, thinking about something. I wonder what. Thanks for teaching me how to surf, by the way. I tell him, I appreciate it. He seems to pull away from whatever he's thinking before saying, no problem.
And look, about what you said with Ty.
You know, Eric, the great thing about a subject change is that it gives you an out.
He turns to me and offers a warm smile.
Thank you. Whatever the truth is behind their relationship, it obviously pains him, and as curious as I am to know his side, the story as he sees it, I know that isn't my place. Eric clearly likes to keep things close to his chest, doesn't want to show his hand, and considering how little time we've known each other, I don't have a right to pry. We stop at the restaurant he was telling me about, and as the host sits us, suddenly, I'm thrown. This is a date. No, not a date. We just messed around. But then why does it feel like a date?
I know the answer. Because hot as the sex is, I'm genuinely interested in getting to know more about Eric. He fascinates me. And isn't that what dates are? When you get together with someone who you think is hot and want to get to know better. Shit, we're totally on our first date. Eric. When the waiter approaches the table to take our drink order,
I start to order a margarita when Jesse interrupts with, "We'll have a pitcher."
"Very good,"
the waiter says as he scribbles down on his notepad before heading off. "A pitcher? Really?" I say. "Well, I guess we're on vacation. We need to live it up." "Isn't that what we've been doing?" As we said before, I assume we're doing more. I can't believe the words coming out of my mouth. I was already saying too much when I was in the shower with him this morning, and even when we were walking down the boardwalk. It was strange, talking to my son's best friend, whom I got off with this morning, about making sure we didn't hurt Ty, but it was nice to see how much Jesse cares about him and how much he understands the tricky situation we found ourselves in. And nice as that is, it's also nice knowing that neither of us is confused about what we want to experience more of together. I'm sure he thinks it was weird when I told him I didn't want to take advantage of him, or for him to think I was just hitting and quitting it. I'm glad I made my intentions clear. He can't understand how important it is to me that he knows that hot as the sex is, I see him as more than that, and I want to see even more. I feel like I'm the one who's done all the talking, too much talking, and it's his turn, so I decide to redirect the conversation. Going back to what we were discussing on the boardwalk, "Are things about to get awkward again?" he asks, still sporting that charismatic, dimple-filled smile of his. "You're gonna have to stop smiling like that," I tell him. His friendliness shifts to confusion. "Why?" "Because I don't have a way of hiding this boner in my shorts. I have a few ideas of what you can do with it." This is my problem with him. He makes me feel like I'm 20 again and can let go of all my responsibilities and the day-to-day bullshit. I can forget how serious the world has to be. That's part of what makes it so exciting to mess around with him. It's wild and carefree, me totally losing myself the way I would have back in the days when I didn't feel so much responsibility weighing me down. But I'm not a kid anymore, and I do like substance. And I'm wise enough to know there's more to Jesse than he's let on so far. In the same way, I have my barriers, he has his, and he keeps deflecting with that sexy smile of his. "I was referring to when I asked you about your life," I press. "I feel like you know way more about me than I know about you." He leans back in his chair, stretching his arms out to either side. The sunlight glistens on his brown locks, the bangs clinging to his forehead reminding me of when they were covered in sweat in the bedroom. "I'm an open book," he says. "What do you want to know?" "I already told you about my relationship with Whitney. That's the only major relationship I've had in my life." "Well, further back than that, then. Where did you grow up? You mentioned something about foster homes." That easygoing attitude he's donned dissolves with his smile. "Yeah. I grew up in some different foster homes. I can't complain. I got really lucky when I was in seventh grade. I ended up with this very nice couple, the Morgans, and they're my family now." "Do you know anything about your real parents?" "As far as I'm concerned, the Morgans are my real parents. I don't know much about my biological parents." He stresses the word like he's trying to let me know how far removed they are from what he would consider to be parents. He can't know how much that hurts, not because of him, but because I've imagined that Ty must have felt the same way about me. "When I was little," Jesse continues, "I had to travel back and forth between different foster parents and a couple of places run by the state. I was a baby when I was put into the system, and they say babies are always the ones that are most desirable to couples looking to adopt, but apparently I was the exception." He says it like it's a joke, but I can feel the pain behind his words. I imagine this little kid running around on a playground at some school, wondering why his parents gave him up, but never having an answer. I know all about not having answers from my own childhood. It feels like shit. Even worse is always growing up with that burning question. Why did no one want me? Jesus, he was living with that question while he should have been carefree, not worrying about not being wanted. I almost feel like I am projecting my own pain on him, until I see the sorrow in his expression, and despite how he's trying to curl his mouth into that familiar smile, I believe this must be one of the reasons he hasn't been eager to divulge any information about his childhood. So, what was that like? I ask. Growing up like that, before you met the Morgans. He licks his lips. That's strange, he says. What? Usually I mention shit like that and people want to talk about something else. But you just dig right in. I'm sorry. I know I have my own things I don't care to talk about. No. I didn't mean to make it sound like I don't want to talk about it. It's only that I'm surprised you didn't immediately change the subject the way most people do. Like I said earlier, subject changes give you an easy out. He pauses for a moment before adding, It wasn't the most fun thing in the world. I had some shitty families I had to stay with for a while. Families who wanted another check from the man. But fortunately, I didn't have to stick around very long. I wasn't the most obedient kid. I was a little unruly back then. And when I was 11, I ended up getting into some trouble. At 11? I ask, startled by this confession. What kind of trouble? The family I was staying with lived in this very suburban town in Gwinnett County. I'd made a few friends, whom I guess I gravitated to because they were like me. None of their parents cared about them much more than mine did about me. We weren't in the smart kid programs or very active in sports in the town, so we didn't have many options other than hanging around at the mall after school. The other guys I hung with were looking for trouble wherever they could find it. We'd smoke joints and cigarettes in the bathroom. The other kids would do it too, so no one could really get us in trouble for that. But one of my friends, his name was Danny. I always felt uncomfortable hanging with him because he liked to shoplift. I wouldn't help him ever, but we'd just be leaving somewhere in the mall and he'd have something he'd collected, maybe a piece of jewelry, maybe a DVD, little stuff really. It was never a big deal, and he was good at it, so we never got in trouble. One day, we were walking out of a store, and the alarm went off. We all took off, but I was one of the guys who got caught by security. Danny wasn't. But they checked my backpack, and evidently, he'd slipped an MP3 player into it. Not even like an iPod, some piece of shit crap. There was some back and forth between my foster family at the time and the state about what they were going to do with me, if I needed to go to juvie. I got fussed at by anyone and everyone. I ended up getting put back in a place with the state. There was this lady, Judy, who was in charge of me with the state, and she kept telling me how this could ruin my life forever. It was shitty, and everyone was pretty fucked up about the whole thing. But I kind of looked at it as a blessing. The next year was when the Morgans came to the shelter I was at and ended up taking me in. Charlotte and Stan really made me feel like they believed in me. Like they believed I could be more than some problem kid. Oh, wow, I say, surprised. I sure as fuck wouldn't be so willing to talk about my past to some complete stranger. But I feel privileged, and I'm glad he shared it. It adds a lot more to the sense that this is kind of a date. I can appreciate that, like myself, he's had to deal with a lot more crap in this world than most people, especially for someone so young. Sorry, I didn't mean to make that a Debbie Downer moment, he says, like he just realized he was ranting. That was definitely not a Debbie Downer moment, I assure him. That actually ended on a very positive note. Your whole life clearly has. Look at you now. You're not some kid smoking joints at a mall. I think I'm a little old for malls in general. So Charlotte and Stan are your parents' names. They sound like really good people. They are, Jesse says. Incredible people, the best. They changed my life. And they always believed in me, even when I didn't believe in myself. That's really important, I add. I can definitely understand the value of that, especially having grown up with such a shit father who never made me feel very special, never believed I could be anything better, never cared if anything came of me. Jesse's gaze wanders toward the beach as if he's reflecting on what we shared. He already had me intrigued. But after hearing about his childhood, I know if I wasn't already in trouble, I sure as fuck am now. Jesse. It was nice talking to Eric about that shit from when I was a kid. As I told him, the moment I mention I was adopted, most people want to change the subject. They're worried I'm all broken and bent out of shape because of it. Whitney was the only one I was really able to get some of that shit out to, and even then, I always felt like she would have preferred I glossed over the not-so-great stuff. But now, Eric's kind of looking at me funny as the pitcher of margaritas arrives. The waiter pours our glasses, and Eric says, "We'll have the fajita combo for two." The waiter jots it down before heading off, and I say, "Well, I guess I didn't even need to look at the menu. I told you, they have great fajitas. It's okay. I'll let you pay if that makes you feel better." "You think you're so charming, don't you?" I ask. I have the occasional moment. They seem more than occasional. His amusement turns to apparent surprise. "What is it?" I ask. Your cut-to-the-chase attitude catches me off guard sometimes. "You prefer guys who make you feel in control?" I wouldn't say I prefer it, but it's what I'm used to. "I actually think I enjoy this a little more." "Just a little?" I ask, as I kick my leg out and caress along the side of his foot with my big toe, the ends of our flip-flops touching. He stares at me with that same desire I've become so familiar with in such a brief amount of time. "Anyway," Eric says, "you were saying about the Morgans?" Now he's really thrown me. "You wouldn't prefer to talk about the Braves?" I'm expecting a laugh or a chuckle for my subject change, but he just winces. "I don't think we need a subject change for that. I was thinking when you were telling me about how they took you in. It must have been nice to have found people who supported and encouraged you. And it's a shame you didn't have that earlier on." "Are you trying to get me back for catching you off guard?" I ask. Again, no laugh from Eric. I'm being serious right now. I could tell he's not going to let me sidestep this with humor. I shrug. People are dealt the hand they're dealt, and then we make the best of it. Right? "You got a lot of wisdom in that young head of yours." "Trying to make yourself feel better about fucking a guy in his early 20s? I wink. "You think you're the biggest age gap I've had?" My eyes widen almost instinctively. "You mean I'm not?" He seems surprised by my reaction. "Oh. Shit. Sorry. That came out all wrong." "Because of how fucking old I am?" he asks, narrowing his eyes in a way that is so fucking sexy. "I'm 42, not a dinosaur." I didn't mean it that way at all. "You're really hot." He smiles before giving me the once-over. "Okay. Maybe you can be forgiven then." He takes a sip of his margarita. Some of the salt collects on his lips, and he licks it off. I grab my glass, but I'm so distracted by the way he licks the rim that I lose track of what I'm doing. "I'll accept another compliment if you really want to make up for calling me old." I roll my eyes. "Oh, God, no. You're not going to manipulate me with that." "No, no. If I want to manipulate you, I'll keep these fingers away from your tight hole." He takes another sip of his drink. That sounds like a much better way of bothering me. As Eric sets his glass down, he gazes at me with a subtle smirk, like I've amused him and I'm pleased. I'm enjoying this conversation a hell of a lot more than when we were chatting about my fucked up childhood. We start chatting about more typical subjects before our food arrives. He tells me more about his job on a day-to-day basis, and I tell him about what I did at my last job. It's nice getting to hear about someone else's work stresses, to find those parts that overlap in what we do, and not to feel like I'm boring the shit out of someone about my work history. Every once in a while, I notice that if I talk too long, he doesn't look me in the eyes, but studies my face as if he's taking in more than what I am saying. Something I don't mind, because he seems to like what he sees. The fajitas are as amazing as he said they'd be, and I don't hesitate to compliment him on the selection. After we finish eating, we walk back to his condo, which isn't far. While we continue our chat about our jobs, I ask a question that's been developing in my brain since we initiated this conversation. So, how do you know what you want to invest in? I mean, there are a lot of bullshit companies out there, I imagine. How do you know what's going to work and what isn't? Fair question. I have a pretty fundamental belief that things that contribute something beneficial to the world will succeed. A lot of guys will throw money at a company that is all hype and marketing, or really trendy. They're trying to cash in right now. And yeah, that can be great. But even a company that, say, doesn't have the financial backing or the trendiest product on its side can win out in the long run if it really has a product that adds value to people's lives. And I like to think I'm good at seeing when something really has value. Oh, obviously. That's surely why you were so drawn to me. I tease. Yes, it is. Unlike me, he isn't kidding. He looks right into my eyes, unflinching. And I pull my gaze from him because it's a weird thing for him to say. He doesn't even know me, not really. You think I'm bullshitting you? Eric asks. Maybe flattering me is a better word for it. I don't flatter unless it's warranted. Speaking of your value, when are you supposed to hear back about that job you interviewed for? Any day now, I say. Although I admit I'm a little nervous. I figured they would have called me by now. They'll call. He sounds awfully sure of that for a guy who knows nothing about this company or my own skills. From what you've told me, you sound more than qualified for the position. Well, qualifications aren't everything. He nods. And I know it's because, being in his position and as successful as he is, he must know there's more to the world than that. I won't lie, he says. I've been in business long enough to know that's true. There's a lot of dumb shit that stands between a hard worker with the skills and a bunch of dummies who don't know what the hell they're doing. Nepotism, corporate red tape, applicants who can lie better than ever before. But obviously, being a man who believes in value, I believe that even if you don't get this job, you'll be able to land one that works for you. Because I've also been in business long enough to know how fucking hard it really is to find someone who can do their damn job. Take the old man's word for it. He's obviously referring to when I mentioned how much older he is than me. Don't give me grief about that. Come on. You like it when I give you grief. Admit it. I really do. The conversation shifts away from our jobs and back to the past, us sharing stories from our college days, separated by a good stretch of time. He tells me about the trouble he used to get into with his buddies, and I tell him about some of my own issues with peers and teachers. By the time we step out of the elevator in his condo building and head down the hall, I'm in the middle of telling him about a teacher who accused me of plagiarizing a paper in high school. It's one of those canned stories I've told God knows how many people since it happened. I guess she figured that some sophomore couldn't have known as much as I did about programming because she Googled some of the paper and discovered this forum online where it was worded exactly like I had. She didn't realize I was the one in that discussion forum. When I showed her I could log into the account, she started changing her tune. That was fairly gratifying, I bet, he says as he unlocks the door to his unit. Even as I'm telling the story, this tension starts rising within me. What are we going to do now that we're here? As soon as he opens the door, the energy between us shifts. We were having this light-hearted discussion, playful even, and in an instant, it feels so much more serious, so much more intense, especially as I step inside and he closes the door behind me. When I turn to him, he's looking at me again, his gaze unwavering. It's like I can feel his desire, potent, all-consuming, filled with lust. He looks like he's thinking the same thing I am. What the fuck do we do now? He lets his backpack fall off his shoulder onto the floor. He approaches, only taking his eyes off mine to look me up and down. He lifts his hand and runs his thumb across my cheek. And I get chills up my back at the gesture. It's so different from that first experience we shared. So different from hot, frenzied kisses and trying to pry one another out of our clothes. Strange as it feels, I like the sensation it stirs. You've got the prettiest face, Jesse. That adorable, subtle cleft in your chin. The most kissable lips. And these eyes. God, these fucking eyes. I want to turn my gaze. But at the same time, knowing he likes it makes me want to leave it there for him to enjoy. To appreciate. He cups his hand behind my head and moves forward, pressing his lips against mine. While his touch is soft, this kiss is that same wild, feral, primal kiss. Like that first one we shared. Like he desperately craves my mouth. Instinctively, I wrap my arms around him and pull his hard body close, probing his back muscles with my fingers. His muscles tense up as he hooks his arm around me and draws me in before his hand makes its way down to the hem of my shirt. I put my hand on his crotch, feeling his girth. It's so fucking big. I imagine what it would be like to take. I feel him grin before he asks. You even more curious now that you know how good it can feel? Fuck yeah. I'm intrigued, but anxious, worried even. He pulls away and takes my hand, and I feel a tingle like when he put his hand to my face. Come on, Jesse. The sound of my name on his tongue sends another rush of excitement through me. He walks me to the guest bedroom he's been staying in. When we get inside, he closes the door. I pull my shirt off and start to unfasten my fly when he turns around. He's still fully clothed, not showing any indication that he's going to start undressing. You gonna get undressed? I ask. I feel kinda weird being the only one getting naked. Take them off. I remove my board shorts as I kick off my flip-flops, my dick expanding as I do. I chuckle because I do feel strange about being like that in front of him. At the same time, there's something about it I like. Maybe the fact that he's in control. That I'm his to do what he wants to do with me. Because the way he is, the way he's been with me, assures me that he only wants to show me how good it can feel, and I'm eager to discover that with him. Lie on your stomach on the bed, he tells me. I feel hesitant, but I head to the bed and do as he says, spreading out, my face toward the headboard. I glance over my shoulder as he's pulling his shirt off, unveiling that impressive body, that sleeve and pec tattoo, the lines in his six-pack abs, and that thick chest. He moves on to his board shorts, sliding them off, revealing his fully erect cock. There's something I like about knowing I made him that hard, that his stiff cock represents how much he desires me. Eric. As much time as I've spent admiring the beautiful features in that dimpled face of his body is just as beautiful. I've fucked a lot of people in my life, but there's something so much more exciting about the chemistry Jesse and I share, something I really appreciate because I know the difference between any other lay and someone I don't want to stop touching. Someone I want to please the way I want to please Jesse. I mount the bed and rest my knees between his legs, which lie across the sheet in a V. Leaning down, I push my face against his right ass cheek. I kiss and lick the flesh. Salty, I say. Do I need to take a shower? He asks. Fuck no. Then I lick again. Enjoying the way my tongue tickles with the salt. I grip his ass cheek and knead it with my fingers, continuing to lick and kiss. Jesse rests his head on the bed and moans. I want to be the one to show him how amazing being with a guy can be. I want to be the one embedded in his mind when he reflects back on what an amazing fuck feels like. I want to be imprinted on him as his first time for the rest of his life in the best way possible. In a way that makes every guy after me know they have to step up their game to give this piece of ass what it wants. I lick up his ass to the small of his back, crawling up the bed as I make my way up his spine. He purrs softly. Resting my legs on either side of him, I spread my body across his back, my cock between his ass cheeks. I hook my arms under his and push my face up against his cheek, kissing it. He turns and kisses me, his lips and tongue furious with that passion I've felt since the first time we started kissing. Adrenaline races through me. I rock my pelvis back and forth, pleasure my cock in the crack of his ass, enjoying how his smooth flesh feels against my own. "You want my cock inside you?" I ask him. "Yes, Eric, so fucking bad." I lean back, pulling away from him so quickly that it's clear I catch him off guard. His mouth is still open as he awaits another kiss from me. But when I don't kiss him, he opens his eyes. Once again, I find myself scanning his face. That soft jawline, the dip in his chin, the creases of his dimples, the curves of his nose, and those eyes. Those eyes that leave me wondering how those could have looked at any other human without them having wanted to adopt him. I see that same kid I envisioned when we were eating lunch. I can feel that pain of when he sounded rejected and unwanted. I hate the world forever having made him feel that way. And I want to be the one to remind him of just how much a person can want him. It's not only his body I want either. I see so much more than that. The man he is. And I'm glad we had a chance to talk at lunch, because now that I've gotten to see a glimpse of who he is beyond the chemistry we share, it just leaves me all the more aroused by him, all the more curious to discover even more about him. I want him to see I care, to feel I care. I kiss him once more, much softer. "I don't want to rush this," I tell him. He smiles before saying, "Oh, is this the sweet side of you?" "As sweet as I can manage." I roll off of him, and he moves on to his side to face me. "I just want to make sure you're comfortable with taking this next step." "Well, you certainly weren't taking this kind of caution with me the other day," he points out. "The other day, I didn't know you'd never done this before." "I mean, hell, I assumed you were an expert." "An expert? Really?" "You almost took it like an expert." He tucks his head to his chest, his eyes meeting mine as his cheeks turn red. I consider teasing him for a moment, but I don't want to make him feel like I'm judging him, or picking on him, or doing anything other than desiring him. I didn't realize how in over my head I was until it was too late. "Got so caught up in everything," he explains. "You can say it," I tell him. "In me." "Well, technically, it was going to be in me," he points out, and he smiles again. "You really do have one of the prettiest smiles I've ever seen." "Relax. You don't have to compliment me. I'm already going to let you have your way with me." His gaze drifts down to the mattress. "What is it?" I ask. "I can tell you're thinking about something." "It's just weird. I never figured I would end up in a situation like this. I've been with a few girls who were virgins, and I don't know. I'm kind of wondering if this is how they were feeling."
"You were a virgin at one point."
"Yeah, but you know what I mean. I figure it's different having a guy's dick in you."
"It's similar to the fingers, but a little bit more."
Jesse rolls his eyes. "Okay, I know that isn't true. I guess I'm a little nervous about what it'll feel like. It felt great when your fingers were in there, but that..." He glances down at my crotch. "That's a little more than I'm used to working with, than I've ever worked with. It does hurt a little, even with your fingers, so, I mean..."
"I'll have to go slow then, I guess. If you still even want me to do anything, that is."
"I do want to. I'm being honest about what I'm feeling."
"I want you to be honest about that."
I reach over to him, run my thumb down between his pecs to his abdomen, stopping at his navel. "Jesse, I want you to tell me, work with me,
because I really do want you to have a good time, and if at any point you get uncomfortable or want to stop, you tell me, and it ends. And we don't even have to think about it. Not going to pressure you into taking things further than you want to. He snickers. What? Is something I said ridiculous? I ask. No, it just sounds like something I would have told somebody in the past. It's weird being on the receiving end of it. I totally want to do this, obviously. But it's kind of strange and different. But different can be good, as I've learned.
He takes my hand from his belly and pulls it up to his face, looking at my forefinger and middle finger. He takes a deep breath before saying, "Okay, I think I'm ready."
I laugh. "I'm not dragging you onto a roller coaster," I tell him. "No, I didn't mean it like that. I just... sorry."
"Now you're the one apologizing." I rush at him quickly, planting my lips firmly against his. I want to set him at ease, to tell him with every movement I make, with every kiss I offer, that I'm here for him, listening to him, listening to his body. He can feel safe with me. I won't have it any other way, since I know what the alternative feels like. He sets his hand against the back of my head and pulls me on top of him. I straddle his waist and position our cocks side by side. We thrust together. "Your skin feels so good," I whisper as I pull my lips back and rub my cheek against his. I lean back and reposition on the bed, pushing between his legs on my knees. I set my hand on his stomach. "Stay right there," I tell him, before licking my fingers and pushing them into his ass, loosening him up gently, taking my time. As his body twitches, the lines in his torso shift about. He rocks his head either way, then rolls it back. I can feel his muscles relaxing. I'll stop if he gets uncomfortable, but I'm really hoping he doesn't. That he needs this as much as I do.
Jesse. What am I doing? Letting a guy stick his fingers up my ass? It's so fucking strange. I'd expect to tense up more, or to feel my muscles clenching, but it's the exact opposite. My physical response suggests I want this. I appreciate Eric saying he would take his time. There's a feeling of safety, which is nice. It's even nicer when he offers another lick for his fingers before pushing them farther back within me. I moan. I don't even mean to. It just spits right out of my mouth. He leans over me, pressing his hand down beside my shoulder, his eyes scanning me. I'm vulnerable beneath him as he appears to like what he's seeing. He's watching me, reading me as he continues playing with my hole.
"Is that comfortable?" he asks.
"Yes." He pushes steadily back farther. As he hits my prostate, that familiar adrenaline spirals through my body, my skin prickling with goosebumps, my legs tremble against the mattress, and my body twitches about.
"Ah, you like that better,"
he says as a smile swipes across his face. "A lot better," I confess, laughing. Don't even know why I'm laughing. This is all so surreal. What am I doing? I keep asking myself. And why don't I want it to stop? Why do I keep wanting to push further? He crawls back, keeping his fingers inside me and moving them back and forth. Leaning down, he takes my dick into his mouth. He raises and lowers his head, his expert tongue at work. Whitney was good, but Eric? Jesus Christ, he's incredible, especially as he hits that point within me at the same time, forcing my arousal to climb. He pulls his hand back, sliding his fingers out. When he pushes again, I can tell he's added another finger. The pressure reminds me of my concern that his dick will be too much for me. Intellectually, I've learned from the porn I've watched that I'll be fine.
but the idea of having it inside me is intimidating. But what he works up within me, the deliciousness of the experience, even though there's a slight twinge to it, gives me confidence we can make this work. Eric continues offering me that same satisfying massage before he pulls his fingers out. He crawls across the bed to the nightstand and retrieves condoms and lube. This is it. This is fucking it. I'm about to be fucked by another man, and I really want to be since that other man is Eric. He puts the condom on, slathers lube across his cock, and approaches me. I spread my legs out, gazing up at him, wondering what to expect. "You're cringing," he tells me. "Am I?" He smiles as he moves between my legs, wrapping his arm under one and positioning my ass clearly so that he can get inside it. He crawls forward, and I can feel the head of his dick at my hole. I'm hanging in suspense, waiting for him to push in, curious how it will feel. He rests his hand on my chest and then strokes his thumb across it. "You good?" Such a simple question, but it makes me feel that much better. It reminds me I'm not alone in this, that I have an ally. I nod. He leans down and kisses me softly, tenderly. "I want you to like it," he whispers against my lips as I feel the soft push forward. It's so subtle, like when he was first moving his fingers within me. He steadily pushes in, and I'm glad because if he went too slow, I'd just remain nervous. As the pressure builds, I take deep breaths. It's not as painful as I thought it would be, and as he keeps pushing in, I'm actually surprised and impressed with myself. He pulls away from our kiss and checks my expression. At the same time, he pushes farther in, and I can't help but roll my head back, some innate reaction to the way he's stimulating the nerves within me. He smiles like he's thrilled to have this effect on me. But as he gets a little farther inside, I tense up at the sensations starting through me. "Oh, fuck, oh," I say, "fuck, fuck, fuck." He pulls back slightly. "Sorry. Are you okay?" "Oh, it's better now. Give me a moment. It was a little fast, I think." Deep breaths. "Keep breathing. Oh, yeah, that smarted." He gazes down at me. I think he's going to make a joke or tease me about this. But he has this serious expression on his face, like he's concerned and making sure I'm okay. "It wasn't that bad," I tell him. "It was just weird and kind of surprised me."
"Okay. Good."
I take my time before vibing out the situation. "You can try again," I finally tell him.
"You sure?"
"I'll be more upset with you if you don't." He smirks before continuing his work, moving a little slower this time, which I appreciate. Though it's a strange experience, there's something nice about the way he's filling me, the sensation of him pushing inside me. As I feel his cock jamming into my prostate the way his fingers had, my head jerks back, my mouth hanging open. "Am I hitting it?" he asks. As I look up, I can tell by the eagerness in his wide-eyed expression that he knows he did. "Oh, fuck yeah," I admit, offering him the auditory confirmation.
"What do you think?"
"I like it. It's nice."
"Nice?"
he asks, looking amused. "More than nice. It's really good. Keep going." He obeys, thrusting his pelvis forward a few times. I instinctively arch my back as he keeps electrifying me, filling me with that eruption of sensation unlike anything I'd been able to experience until I met him. I reach out to either side, my fingers curling, my toes following suit. He leans down closer, still watching me, gauging my reaction. His breath hits my lips before he slams his mouth down over mine. I eagerly accept the kiss before his tongue invades my mouth and he pushes in, picking up his pace. The discomfort I felt before is gone, so I feel like my body must have adjusted to his impressive size. He finally works up to where he's pushing in deep and powerfully. The way he slams inside me has me breaking our kiss and moaning. "Too much," he asks, his expression rife with alarm. I open my eyes, unable to close my mouth as I look at him. "No, that was just right." He doesn't hesitate before he once again seizes my lips with his and pushes into me. My eyes roll back as he strikes that same spot again and again and again, each time pushing me higher. My dick leaks pre-cum onto my belly. I wrap my arms around him as he takes me. I'm his, all his to possess, to claim, to teach. His lips trail from my mouth, across my face, frantically moving about like he can't get enough of me, making me feel so wanted and appreciated. The more he fucks me, the easier it is for me to take him, the less I feel that strange sensation of pressure, and it becomes about the pleasure he's giving me and the powerful intensity of it as it radiates through my body. I'm lost in a sea of sensation, and I toss my head back as he licks and nips at my neck. His hand runs down my side and around to the small of my back as I continue arching it, my body surrendering to the rush that pulses through me as he continues giving me this intense, delicious experience. He pulls back and rises up on his knees, sliding out. I'm about to ask why he's abandoning my body, when he raises my right leg up and rests it on his opposite shoulder. My body twists with the movement, and he grins a sneaky grin before pulling on my other leg, guiding me onto my stomach. He takes my leg off his shoulder and rests it on the mattress beside him, then grabs my hip and pulls back, ushering me onto my knees. I've seen this position before, and I'm curious to know if it's any different than what we just did. Eric sets a hand on my ass and gropes it good before offering a gentle slap. "Oh, are you into that?" I ask, looking over my shoulder at him. He beams. "I can be into a lot of things. Evidently, so can I." He leans down, resting his chest against my back and whispering into my ear. And I'm enjoying that so much. I feel the pressure of his cock as he enters me again, and oh God, he fits so perfectly in my ass, like that cock belongs inside me. He slides his arm around me and pushes against my chest. He licks behind my neck, and I turn to him, and our lips lock again, but just for a moment before his movements inside me force me to call out. I can't help myself. I can't deny what he's working up within me. Excitement. Exhilaration. Passion. I can hardly form a coherent thought about what's happening because I'm so caught up in the powerful energy that radiates through my body, seizing control of me the way he is. He puts his other arm around me and pulls me back until I'm upright and he's thrusting powerfully. Hooking his arms under mine, he sets his hands behind my head, locking my arms so they hang at my sides. I relax, letting him dominate me so he has complete control as he stimulates me in a way that has my body convulsing and stirring, goosebumps pricking across my flesh, and me calling out his name. "Ah, Eric, fuck me harder," I beg him. What am I saying? Where is this coming from? It's like there's this part of me that Eric has awakened, one I want him to help me unearth. Feeling the heat his body is giving off, combined with the way he grunts into my ear as he fucks me, it's all forcing this pressure in my sack, which builds to a point where it feels painful. But with my arms locked in place, there's nothing I can do to ease the pain, nothing I can do to make that release happen, something I want so badly. Yet at the same time, I don't want this to end. God damn it, that feels so good, Eric. "I like hearing you say my name while I'm inside you," he says as he lowers his arms and kisses the side of my face again. I rest my hand on the back of his head, feel my fingers through his hair. It's coarse from the salt water. He pants as he continues thrusting. The sound is so erotic. Something about it feels raw and uninhibited.
He tucks his face low and whispers, I don't know how much longer I can hold out. I want Eric shooting his load inside me to know I'm able to give him the same sort of satisfaction he's giving me right now. He leans forward, pushing me toward the headboard. He slides his arms down so they're around my chest, giving me the chance to put my hands out in front of me and rest them on the mattress. I enjoy his weight on my back. As he pistons his hips, he reaches low and grabs my cock, stroking for a moment before pulling his hand back and spitting in it. He reaches back down and jerks me in a corkscrew motion, and it's too much for me. Eric, I'm about to do it, he commands, as if it was simply my body bending to his request. All the pressure that's built, the sensations that have been twisting and radiating through me erupt, a powerful wave of heat racing to my face as I feel that release. A forceful jerk from behind me offers yet another burst of sensation, urging my body into a fit of feverish spasms and shakes. He growls before leaning back and setting his left hand on the small of my back while grabbing my hair with his right, tugging my hair back just enough to make it hot, but not enough to sting. He offers a few more thrusts, calling out before settling and collapsing onto my back once again. His breathing slows down as he offers several moans that assure me of how good his own climax was. God, that was fucking amazing, he says. He starts to pull out, but I reach behind and grab his ass. No, no, I say. Just another moment. I hear him chuckle and wonder if he's mocking me. But as he offers a soft kiss on the side of my face, I know he isn't. I relax as he wraps his arms around me. I told you it would feel good, he says. How did you like it? I think good is definitely an understatement. He growls again and then nips at my earlobe. I like that even though we reach the end together, he's still filled with this frisky, electric energy that he can't get enough of me. I turn to him and force my lips against his, and he eagerly accepts my kiss, resting his hand against my face, holding it steady. I have to admit, I don't want him to leave me yet. I don't want this experience to end. Sure as fuck never thought I would be this greedy for a cock.
Eric. I cling to Jesse. I don't want to let him go. I've lived enough life to know that when something feels this good, I have to savor it, because tomorrow, that thing that created such passion, such a beautiful sensation within me, can turn on me, twist into something painful, cruel. Despite how I've caved to my desire, my hunger for this experience with Jesse, I can't escape my awareness of what this could mean down the road for my relationship with Ty. Yet there's another part of me that's aware that's already been screwed over, that no matter what I try to do, how I try to mend things, there will always be this distance between us. So what can it hurt? Why deprive myself of something that feels this right over something I can't do anything about? Once I finally manage to pry my hands off Jesse, I discard the condom in the trash can in the bathroom. As I re-enter the bedroom, Jesse's lying on his back, breathing steadily, gazing up at the ceiling with a smile across his face, like he's trying to process everything that just happened. He runs a hand through his hair, then relaxes his arm over his head. Turning to me, his smile expands even further. He can't know how pleased I am that he enjoyed himself. Now when he reflects on it, he'll look back at Ease and someone who generally cared, rather than some bastard who didn't give a fuck about how he felt or if he enjoyed it. Is this the awkward part, where we try to figure out what we do now? Jesse asks, before rolling onto his side. I hop into bed and stretch out alongside him. I think another shower is in order for sure, I tell him, resting a hand on his face, almost without meaning to. I caress my thumb down to his chin,
running it through the dip in the middle, studying those lips, their curvature, the light shade of pink. "So how does that compare with messing around with girls?" I ask him. "Kind of amazing." "Kind of?" He pushes my shoulder.